You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The Daytona 500 is a legendary display of roaring engines, soaring spirits of the American skill, speed, and power that we've been hearing about for so many years. The tens of thousands of patriots here today have come for the fast cars and the world-class motorsports. But NASCAR fans never forget that no matter who wins the race, what matters most is God, family, and country.
This is February the 17th, 2020. That was yesterday. President Trump at Daytona and then got in the Beast, his armored limousine, and led the car slowly around the 2.5 mile track. Hundreds of thousands cheering, of course. I say tens of thousands. The stadium holds about 100,000. And he also announced, gentlemen, start your engines. But the rain came in. So it got delayed. It's going to be raced later today, this afternoon. Now, I would imagine the mainstream media was really debating, how do we cover this thing? I mean, the president's going down to Daytona. It's full of redneck, mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging guys that drag women around by the hair. I mean, yeah, that's the way they see you. That is exactly the way they see NASCAR fans. They found a way to cover it by covering a mistake. Air Force One pictured against a large crowd at NASCAR in the stadium as it's lifting off or coming in. It's hard to tell by the picture. But it wasn't President Trump on board at that time. It was a photo from 2004. And it was a takeoff involving President Bush, who had visited Daytona. But there was a picture of Air Force One passing the stadium earlier before a lot of the fans arrived, and the stands weren't nearly as packed. Somehow or another, the mistake got made. They put out the wrong picture. So that is how the mainstream media decided to cover it. We caught you. You put up a fake photo. Yeah, you're right. It was a wrong photo. Big deal. Now you're going to cover it? Not really wanting to. But it's President's Day. And if it were President Hillary Clinton, oh, yes. If it were President Michael Bloomberg, oh, yes. And could it be that Bloomberg and Hillary are actually going to team up to go against Donald Trump? Would that mean anything? Would it change anything? Would you like to see another round two smackdown of Hillary Clinton, this time with Bloomberg? And do you think Hillary really wants to be second on that ticket? Is it really going to happen? We're going to get into that a little bit later. Also, great news out of Virginia dealing with the Second Amendment. And I want you to keep in mind, if Bloomberg and Hillary were elected, you could kiss your Second Amendment rights goodbye. We're going to get into more of that. And there's been an increase in violence against GOP members, specifically Trump supporters. You don't see the mainstream media covering it. It's a clear hate crime, a political hate crime, a hate crime period, and yet they continue to ignore it. We're going to get into that because some are predicting that violence is going to increase. We're also going to have a tribute to those who died at Pearl Harbor and those who survived, but another survivor just passed away. And that new New York crime law, that's a big hit for criminals. Yeah, I said for criminals. We'll explain. And another way for Democrats to waste money is if they need another way. And a time when squirrels were pets. Speaking of squirrels, Bernie Sanders. I told you I wasn't going to do that. I'm sorry. Bernie Sanders is a rock star. He is. You want to know how? Listen, there are a lot of rock concerts if you've been to some. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. And a lot of girls get up near the front stage and they often will pull down their tops. They want to expose themselves to the rock star. Bernie Sanders at a Nevada rally yesterday afternoon. Two women came up, pulled their tops down. They were absolutely nude from the waist up. Some of them had fake blood and water on their breast, and they were crying out, no milk or something. Who knows? No one was listening to what they were saying. They're watching. And Bernie was, and somebody had to yank him off the stage. Bernie is a rock star. If he's interrupted by topless protesters, I'm going to give him credit for that. Bernie, rock star. Women parading and showing off in front of him. Oh, this is going to be an exciting program. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne. Red light.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, there's our lion roar. Means ready for red meat. Well, I mentioned in the beginning, in the opening monologue, there's talk that Michael Bloomberg might team up with Hillary Clinton, see if the two of them can take down Donald Trump. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour, but I want to reinforce something. If you consider putting Bloomberg and Hillary Clinton together, you would have two of the most gun control politicians in existence together on the same ticket. This would definitely be at least an attempt to kill the Second Amendment rights. Remember Hillary Clinton, when she was campaigning, had said that, well, the Second Amendment, it's not all you think it is. In other words, she does not really buy the Second Amendment inside the U.S. Constitution. And, of course, Bloomberg has been pushing for more and more controls on firearms. And, in fact, he's got that in some of his campaign ads he's running. So just keep that in mind. If by chance they should get together, and if, God help us, they should win, your Second Amendment rights will be going right out the window. But in the meantime, an effort by Bloomberg at what he was trying to get through in Richmond, Virginia, is failing. The Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, of course, a Democrat, trying to, along with the help of Bloomberg and Bloomberg money, trying to ban the sale of assault weapons. That was the idea. We're going to get rid of assault weapons. Now, whatever assault weapons might be declared, that's still another open question. Here's what happened. Four Democrats walked to the other side of the aisle and joined the Republicans in the committee vote, and they voted in the last hour or so to shelve that bill for a year. They are going to ask the State Crime Commission to study it. Cheers from a committee room packed with gun advocates. All right, all right, all right. And to that extent, The effort by lawmakers in Virginia to impose assault weapons ban, to prohibit the sale of certain semi-automatic firearms, including the AR-15-style rifles, and ban possession of magazines holding more than 12 rounds, is dead in the water at this point. Now, they still have some other bills they're trying to push. They have other things that they want to see pushed through, and they're going to continue that. Because according to one of the supporters for this gun bill, which just got defeated, stating, "While we are disappointed in today's vote, we are undeterred. Assault-style weapons, large-capacity magazines, and other accessories designed to heighten the to heighten the death count of firearms has no place in our communities. In the meantime, the Judiciary Committee of Virginia Senate must swiftly pass the remaining 7 common-sense gun violence prevention laws before them." That includes things like a red flag law, where you could report on your neighbor saying, "You know, I think the guy's got a gun. I think he should not have one. He's been kind of acting strange." And take your guns away without any court hearing. Just take it away based on someone else's complaint. And maybe they simply don't like the way you mow your grass, or don't. And they want to push for limit one handgun purchase to once a month. You can buy one a month. What do they think that even does? But aside from that, that's something else they're pushing for. And universal background checks. We have background checks. What they're trying to talk about is, if I decide to sell you one of my pistols, I can't sell it to you legally unless I have a full criminal expose and put you through the system, see if you have any felony charges against you or you're dangerous of any type. You know, the people that are buying the guns like that, they're stealing them generally, or they're buying them from other thugs and gangsters, and they all know. The seller couldn't even put his or her name on the list, because they'd be the ones that would be under investigation. But what we have now, and we can be glad of it, the Virginia lawmakers saying no. No on banning assault-type weapons in Virginia. You know, it had gotten to the point, you had gun rights activists in force for weeks in Richmond, Virginia, the state's capital, and showing up, many of them carrying rifles, openly carrying pistols. I would tell you again, I'm not in favor of doing that. No, there was no problem or violence, but I'm not in favor of simply flaunting around just to say that I can do it. I support the right. I support your decision if you want to do it. I'm not big on simply walking around showing off a weapon just to be showing it as they were doing, but that's what they decided. Of course, not every member of Virginia did, that everyone that has a gun, but many did. And you had more than 100 Virginia cities and counties declaring themselves to be sanctuary jurisdictions for gun rights since the Democrat governor was trying to do this. And then the West Virginia governor said, "Hey, some of you Virginia counties, you don't like what's happening in your state, you can leave and join West Virginia." But right now, that particular bill is going back for at least a year to be studied. I would say if you could overturn the Democrat legislature in Virginia, you'll never see it surface again. If you don't, it will be back. In fact, a reporter for a local NPR affiliate reported that one Democrat senator, calling out other senators who decided to join the Republicans, called them, "You bunch of wimps. You bunch of wimps." Because 4 Democrats decided, "We will stand with Republicans on this. We are not going to move forward on the assault weapons ban." Now, if they're actually going to get the other laws passed, that's still debatable. It's very possible this will be used as a firewall that you couldn't get this passed and nothing else is going to go past. We'll see. They have these other gun control bills that have made through the House and Senate that do include measures to ban guns in certain areas and buildings, requiring universal background checks, so forth, how often you could buy the guns. But they might begin to take a look at pulling all of those back. It's just a matter of where we go from here in Virginia. And I feel for folks in Virginia who are Second Amendment supporters, because all they're doing is saying, we just want to be recognized as having our Second Amendment rights. And the state of Virginia says, no. And, you know, here's something else that comes to mind. And I'm looking at a story that just got picked up again yesterday. I've had Andrew Pollack on this program before. Andrew Pollack lost his daughter, Meadow, on Valentine's Day 2018. That was at the shooting that took place at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. But what they did then and what they just did on the second anniversary of that shooting was use it, the gun control enthusiasts, to raise money. To raise money. They're raising money on the coffin of his daughter and the other students killed that day. They sent out an email using that tragedy to justify the push for more background checks. And they never mentioned, of course, that the attacker at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School had passed a background check to get his rifle. They don't mention that. And they don't mention that nearly every mass public attacker the last 15 years has gotten their gun legally, and if they're loopholes, it's because they were not following the law. But again, they wanted to give the impression that there's something wrong with gun control laws, so send us money. Send us money, and we'll fix it. And Andrew Pollack questioned about the Democrats' fundraising off of the attack that killed his daughter, left her daughter, his daughter dead. He said, for the families, Parkland was an unspeakable tragedy. For Democrat activists, it was a grand opportunity. They politicized my daughter's murder to fundraise. I would be incensed as he is. There's something else as we move into this election cycle. Look where we are. Where are we? 9 months now from November 2020. We are seeing an increase of threats and violent incidents that are targeting Republican voters and particular Trump supporters. Let's go back to what just happened earlier this month. That 27-year-old in Florida ramming his van into a voter registration tent set up on a Walmart parking lot. He intended to hurt someone. He crashed into the tent, spewing chairs and tables. Thank goodness everybody could get out of the way. And then he got out of the vehicle, took a few pictures with his camera, gave them the middle finger, got in and drove off. Well, they caught him. And he's charged with two counts of aggravated assault, one count of criminal mischief, driving a suspension license, and I've yet to see anyone say, and a hate crime. And yet, the arrest report said he told deputies he did not like President Trump and someone had to take a stand. So he drives his vehicle right into this group of Trump supporters. If it had been a Bernie Sanders gathering, if it had been Senator Warren, any others, mainstream media would still be playing the video over and over again. It would be burned into your mind of that picture, because they would play it enough times that you could never get it out of your mind that somebody who hated Bernie Sanders supporters so much, they tried to run over them in a van. I want to ask you again, how many times have you seen the picture of this guy driving his van into that tent? I would dare say that if you saw it once, that was probably one time that they wish you hadn't seen it, because otherwise it's been buried. It is buried. And you know, after that happened, 2 days later in New Hampshire, right in the midst of the state's first of the nation primary last Tuesday, a man assaulted a 15-year-old Trump supporter and two adults volunteering at another polling site. This 34-year-old New Hampshire man slapped the face of the teenage boy because he was wearing a Make America Again hat, reached over and slapped him on the face, and then assaulted two adults who tried to intervene. Now, this guy has also been arrested. And he's accused of throwing Trump campaign signs, attempting to knock over another campaign tent set up at that polling site. Where is the hate crime? Where's the charge of the hate crime? It's because the target involves Trump supporters, and the attackers are leftists. Three Trump supporters, including a 15-year-old, attacked by this guy, and it's just ignored. And then over the weekend, a college Republicans information table at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Two protesters tore up placards, ripped down the sign, one of them appearing to spit on the 13-star Betsy Ross American flag that's now on the ground. Again, it's hate crime. But we're not seeing it. You wait. You wait until it happens the other way, and I hope it doesn't. I don't want anyone to go out and attack any of the leftists at their signage or their post, their polling, whatever they're doing. Don't do it. But if it should happen, that story will be headlined, as we used to say in Texas, till the cows come home and beyond. Hypocrisy, yes. And a perfect example of it I've got coming up in the next segment. The latest attack on Attorney General Barr, and then a connection between George Soros and Obama.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
And it's bad, bad, Leroy Brown.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, more than 1,100 ex-employees of the Department of Justice, both from Democrat and Republican presidencies, signed a letter calling on Attorney General William Barr to resign, stating that he and his handling of the Roger Stone case, quote, openly and repeatedly flouted the principle of equal justice under the rule of law. And, of course, that's because Barr sent word to his prosecutors, you're pushing for too much time against Roger Stone. He should not have served 7 to 9 years for what he's convicted of doing. The judge has yet to make that decision. The judge will make that decision. But because Barr even did that, four of his prosecutors resigned. And, of course, the criticism ramped up. Stone, of course, was found guilty in November, lying to the House Intel Committee, obstructing its investigation into Russia's meddling, and threatening a potential congressional witness. And that was apparently what they were looking at as an added enhancement to the case, that he apparently said something about, I'll steal your dog, you'll never see your dog again, and that was considered a threat. Bottom line is, he was going to be sentenced 7 to 9 years for more time on those charges than a rapist will sometimes get. So Stone was looking at that situation. Trump didn't think it's an adequate justice penalty, and neither did Barr. And now you got 1,100 former DOJ members stepping forward and saying, we think Barr should resign because he did this. Alan Dershowitz, Harvard emeritus professor, also thinks that Stone got a raw deal in his trial, considering the extreme political bias of the jury foreperson. It's been made public. She's flat out said she hated Trump. She campaigned again. I mean, she was openly anti-Trump. So you have to question, well, how fair was that trial anyway? But Alan Dershowitz has raised another issue. If I'm looking at these prosecutors wanting to go after Barr because they think he interfered with justice, what are they going to do about this thing that Alan Dershowitz has off in a corner? He was asked over the weekend, did you say that George Soros asked Barack Obama to have his Justice Department investigate somebody? And Dershowitz said, well, that's going to come out in a lawsuit in the near future, but yes. In other words, he's saying George Soros asked Barack Obama to have the Justice Department investigate someone. George Soros, very rich individual, Democrat supporter, asking the president to investigate somebody using the force of the Justice Department. Dershowitz said, we're going to learn more about it. I can't release a name or anything right now, but we will when the lawsuit is filed. He said, I have in my possession the actual 302 form. That's an FBI record of the interview, which documents the case. I'm not free to disclose it now because it's a case that has not yet been filed. So for all of you DOJ people that walked away the other day, and for those of you signing on this letter saying that Barr has, what was your phrase again, openly and repeatedly flouted the law, what are you going to say when the evidence comes out about Obama being asked directly by a citizen to use the Justice Department? And what about your role in helping in that investigation? You know, New York State has a new crime law. Criminals love it. I mean, they love it. I'll explain when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDRURYLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. Let you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Oh, Mr. Connor, I forgot to add something I wanted to say about a moment ago about Dershowitz. I didn't forget. I decided to hold it for now, but I like doing the Mr. Connor. How many of you remember Connor? You know even who I was mimicking or trying to mimic at that time, and who that actor now is well known? The name Travolta mean anything to you? Oh, Mr. Connor, excuse me. Anyway, I don't know if it's, forget it. I'm off on another track. See, you give me President's Day, I got a lot of time on my hands, I can't get into my bank, I can't do this and do that, so I just do this, torment you. But what I did want to add, Alan Dershowitz, he said this, if Bernie Sanders, if Senator Bernie Sanders wins the Democrat presidential nomination, it will force me to leave the Democrat Party and campaign against him nationwide. Dershowitz is not a Trump man, did not vote for him. He voted for Hillary. He's voted for Obama in the past. He's a Democrat all the way, but he says, if Bernie Sanders ends up carrying our banner into the general election, I will walk away from this party. In fact, I will go to the other side and campaign against him. I love it. We're going to get into more of that, where the Democrats stand right now in the next hour. And again, we'll go back to that discussion about Bloomberg adding Hillary to the ticket. True, false, rumor, fact, fiction. A great idea, disaster idea. We'll get into that in the next hour. As I was saying earlier, New York has, as you well know, some new laws. They passed a bail reform law across the state of New York. This bail reform law basically says if you appear before the judge, odds are, unless it's a really, really heinous crime, they can just let you go without you posting any bail. Post no bail. We're just going to let you go. As long as the offenses are nonviolent, we're just going to let you go. And it doesn't matter how many times you've been charged with this kind of thing, we're going to let you go. You don't have to post any bail reform. So when you get arrested the next time, we'll bring you in. We'll do the same thing. We'll do the little dog and pony show. Have you come in, stand up, okay, you're free on bail. No, you don't have to post anything. You want a perfect example? There's a New York City man, 56 years old. He's now been arrested 139 times. 139 times. He's been swiping apparently hundreds of dollars from unsuspecting subway commuters. And he's been arrested six times since just the start of this year. So with this new law in effect, even though he's had all of these other offenses, they were nonviolent as he was stealing and so forth, but not hurting anyone, he's released without having to post any bail. He's got six felonies on him, 87 misdemeanors, 21 missed court hearings, and as he's leaving the headquarters of the police station, reporters were asking, hey, what about, what do you think of this new law? He said, bail reform, it's lit, L-I-T. See, that's for you woke and unwoke people. That means it's great, it's lit. And then he says, a line that should be on every Republican campaign in New York and everywhere Republicans are running in any part of the world, in the country, I should say. He says, it's the Democrats. The Democrats know me. Republicans fear me. You can't touch me. I can't be stopped. He was held in custody for about 36 hours until he actually got to that arraignment hearing, and then he got released. He had two warrants out for his arrest for missing court dates. Yep, let it go. I mean, in one of the cases, he reached over and snatched a $50 bill out of a woman's hand while she's trying to buy a Metro card at a station. And then he jumps over a subway turnstile. And he poses sometimes as an MTA officer and dupes subway goers into giving him money to help buy tickets. He said, I'm famous. I take $200, $300 a day of your money, and you can't stop me. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. They punked people out for BS crimes. So the guy's free again. This is what they're doing in New York. This is what they want to do across the nation, Democrats. You think I'm kidding? These are the ones that said we're going to, one, decriminalize crossing our border. We're no longer going to have a border. If you cross our border illegally from Mexico or from Canada, we'll give you something equivalent to a traffic citation. That's it. You entered our country illegally, unvetted, unchecked. We don't know what kind of disease you're carrying, what kind of weapons you might have, or what you plan to do once you get here. But welcome to America. You're free to roam about the country. You want another example? One of the main darlings right now, the Democrat Party, and has running for the White House, Buttigieg, has said clearly it should not be a crime if you're caught possessing heroin. Should not be a crime if you're caught possessing heroin. He says, we don't want those guys. We want the real traffickers and so forth. I guess he doesn't know that a lot of people that have heroin in their possession probably are trafficking in it one way or the other. And of course, I've always told you before, you got to watch out for these giveaways when it comes to, well, if they didn't have a real nasty crime against them, we're going to release them on bail early, before the New York state law came into effect. They're pushing for free folks out of prison if they're there for minor crimes, like a possession or something. But in many cases, they pled down to just a possession. They were caught with weapons, illegal weapons. They're a gangster. That's what they do. If they're a drug dealer and they don't carry a weapon, they're not going to last in the business very long. But they plead that out, and let me go, I'll just plead to the possession case. And now you can turn me loose. Someone else is probably wishing, I wish somebody would look at my case and release me without bail and without any additional charges. This guy is pretty amazing. He had been on CNN. On CNN 74 times in one 10-week period. In just one 10-week period, 74 times. In fact, a media research analyst point out that no guest in CNN's recent history had as much free media exposure as this guy. And in fact, one of the CNN analysts flat out said, looking ahead to 2020, one of the reasons I'm taking you seriously as a 2020 presidential contender is because of your presence on cable news. It's his own cable news network that's letting the guy on the air, and he says, and that's why I think you're a serious contender to be 2020 presidential candidate. And the guy himself said, I can defeat Trump. I'm the one guy. You know who this is, don't you? He represented Stormy Daniel in her allegations and charges against Trump. He rarely was away from CNN's green room, otherwise partying with their network anchors. The former aide to Andrew Cuomo, Democrat governor of New York, and brother of CNN host Chris Cuomo, had a tweet of herself with this guy and another CNN host, Don Lemon Fruitcake, at his posh Hamptons house, but then later deleted it. And everybody has pictures of him with them. They're kind of deleting them, getting them out of their Facebook the best they can. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about ex-CNN darling Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti is now convicted in New York. Guilty, 3 counts, including extortion, wire fraud, transmission of interstate communications with intent to extort, trying to extort money from Nike. Now, I've seen he faces anywhere from 42 years up to 47 years. He did not testify in the case against him. He chose to keep his mouth shut for once. Normally, this guy was all over CNN making his comments, talking about how bad Trump was, how he was going to get rid of him, things of this nature. CNN wasn't the only liberal network putting him out on the camera. Apparently, he was also to this study on MSNBC 57 times during the same time. In fact, these media critics that were looking at it, one of them said, on a single day, May 3rd, 2018, MSNBC featured Michael Avenatti a stunning 7 times. 7 times on one day. And yes, he was asked about a potential run at the White House on The View in August 2018. So he got convicted of trying to extort $25 million from Nike by threatening to go public with evidence that the company had paid off families of young NBA-bound athletes. It was a lie, it's an extortion, and he's been caught. And now he's facing 40-plus years in prison. I know he's in New York thinking, how can I get this new bail law to work for me? Did you know there was a time that squirrels were considered a pet? What made me think of that? Well, I was talking about Avenatti, so I think of squirrels, or close to it. I'll explain when we continue.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I had an aunt in East Texas that had a crow for a pet, or a raven, maybe. I don't know what the real difference to him, but it would hop down out of the tree, land right on her shoulder, and take food that she would have it. That's her pet. She also had a squirrel that would do the same thing, come down the tree and hang around her, and would sometimes go in the house with her. So when Andrew, our boots on the ground reporter in Chicago, said, "Look at what I found, Larry." It was a piece out of Atlas Obscura, written by Natalie Zarelli, talking about, quote, titled, "When Squirrels Were One of America's Most Popular Pets." I thought, well, I knew that for some folks. And in fact, they were talking about in this article, in 1722, a pet squirrel named Mungo passed away. Benjamin Franklin. Yes, that Benjamin Franklin. A friend of the owner wrote a tribute to the squirrel, saying few squirrels were better accomplished, for he had a good education, had traveled far, and seen much of the world. In the 1700s, squirrel ownership was apparently in full swing. They were sold in markets, found the homes of wealthy urban families. There are portraits of well-to-do children holding a squirrel with them, sometimes on a leash. I mean, everybody loves squirrels. But, of course, you and I now know not all the squirrels are in the forest, are they? They exist various places. I think in some parts of the media, you'll find squirrels. You choose which ones. Call me out on it. I don't care. In Congress, again, you choose which ones. Leisure Hour Monthly in 1859 advised squirrel owners to, you need to feed it a fig or a date now and then. And then make sure you have plenty of nuts to store. And then the author wrote, let your pet squirrels crack their own nuts so you don't have to. No, squirrels were popular then. And this must have also been a squirrel, or I certainly would qualify for one now. This is a professor at a university, Anglica Ruskin University, somewhere in Europe, said, you know, the worst thing you can do to the climate is give birth to a child. So the only way to save the planet is stop having children and simply allow humans to become extinct. I'm going to have to research this. This might have been written by a squirrel. Huh. I hadn't thought about that. Speaking of squirrels, Michael Bloomberg is telling farmers, you have no sense. It doesn't take much sense to farm. He said, I can teach anyone to be a farmer. One, dig a hole. Two, put a seed in it. Three, put dirt on top. Four, add water. Five, up comes the corn. In other words, he's making you farmers look stupid. I got an idea from Michael Bloomberg. One, dig a hole, put Michael Bloomberg in it. Two, put dirt on top. Three, add water. Four, up pops a hybrid of Bloomberg and Hillary. It's a weed. You should have destroyed it. Yeah, they're talking about teaming up. Now, we're going to get into this in more detail in the next hour. But Michael Bloomberg, by belittling farmers and making comments like that, and Hillary Clinton's indifference to Trump supporters last time around, and the general attitude of leftists, as expressed best by former FBI agent Comey. I'm sorry, not Comey, but Smurf. He could smell Trump supporters in Walmart. As they continue to belittle you, mock you, make fun of you, trying to find a way to just again point out you're not as good as we are, the worst is going to get for them. But see, here's the thing that ties these guys to squirrels in such a way that nature does evolve to some extent. Squirrels are smart enough to realize when things are getting bad, and it's best to just stay inside. Not necessarily hibernate, but just stay inside and, you know, back off a bit. Don't go out there if there are a bunch of dogs roaming around at the base of the tree. The Democrats and leftists think they're untouchable. And with the mainstream media fence around them, they have some protection. But the barriers are dropping. And as I'd mentioned earlier in this hour, we might well see increased attacks, hate attacks, upon Republicans and Trump supporters. It will be a case where the chickens will come home to roost. So maybe the best thing for you to do on some of your far left enemies, just send them a picture of a squirrel. See if they can figure it out. Probably not. Next hour, more on the possibility that Bloomberg and Hillary Clinton will join forces. Stand by for that story.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.